So when we first got word of this next story, I immediately thought of our next guest. In 2009, apparently, President Barack Obama began reconsidering a longstanding policy at the White House not to send condolence letters to the families of soldiers who commit suicide in a combat zone. The White House said it had been considering changing this policy since 2009. Greg Kiesling, who joins us, father of Army Specialist Chancellor Kiesling, who killed himself while serving in Iraq in 2009. Greg, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And I gather your experience was very much a part of the White House really reconsidering the policy of essentially ignoring the deaths of soldiers who killed themselves in battle zones, as your son did.
Yes, but there are hundreds of other families and organizations such as the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and TAPS and Mental Health America and the American Psychiatry Association, lots of organizations and lots of other families have been involved with this as well.
And I guess, what is the stigma associated with suicide in battle that would cause there to be an explicit policy to essentially avoid condolence letters to someone who killed themselves in battle? I mean, we send condolence letters on friendly fire incidents.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We really have been puzzled by this, where it goes back to, how long it goes back. We've just never been able to find any clear answers. I assume it just goes back to our country's historic battle with mental health issues and whether suicide is seen as a sign of moral failing and weakness,
which
we do not believe it is.
Right, exactly. And going back to your experience, when you learned that your son had killed himself while serving in Iraq in 2009, what would you have wanted to hear? What words were missing from your sense of grief?
My son gave 6 years of service to this country in the military through 2 deployments. He was a very strong soldier and a good leader in his unit. And really, we weren't expecting honors. I mean, soldiers who die in heroic deeds deserve the medals and the awards that they so rightly earn. But we thought just a simple thank you for your son's service. He decided to join up when he was still in high school. And just to say thank you from a president we admire very much, you know, for your sacrifice.
And your feelings now that the president has actually heard that sentiment precisely and is going to change this policy and the letters are starting to go out.
Well, our family will not get one. The letters will go out beginning July 1st, 2011. They will not go backwards. But it's really very bittersweet for us. I mean, this does not bring our son back. Nothing will bring our son back. And I'm sure even for other families going forward, the letter will bring some comfort, but it'll be a minor thing in a larger method of trying to heal from something like this. But what I think this letter really does, and what the president has done, I think has an even bigger opportunity to do, is to send a powerful message to everybody within the military and really within our society, and to redouble the suicide prevention efforts within the military, to really destigmatize seeking help. And he said, President Obama said it on several occasions, but this sends a symbolic message to make that happen. Third, to just really understand PTS and PTSD, and these are the signature wounds of this war, and we are understanding how the mind works, and we can do a better job of that. And then I think finally, what the president has done, it says to every soldier, look out for your battle buddy.
And, you know, I admire the debate that you've started because in many ways you've also redefined and caused us to really think about what constitutes service. It's not purely heroics. It's this deep sense of sort of personal threat that goes with being in combat, and that continues long after you come home.
So much of war is mundane. I asked what I said one day, what are you doing? He said, I'm watching Romanians change light bulbs. And so much of what you do in war is slow and plotting and the support that behind the scenes for the combat troops. And so, you know, it's just honoring all soldiers and all people who are involved when our country makes a decision to go overseas for whatever reasons. And we're proud of our son. He's very proud that he gave this country 6 years.
Greg Kiesling is the father of Army Specialist Chancellor Kiesling, who killed himself in 2009 while serving in Iraq. And Greg, I'm sure you've seen all of the recent statistics on that. Very large rise in the number of suicides. I mean, just in the U.S. Army, We some 156 soldiers committed suicide in 2010. So maybe the next battle is to try to get some kind of preventative care for these soldiers while they're in the field to recognize the problem while they're serving.
Thank you. Two of my son's battle buddies are now conducting the suicide prevention training. And, you know, they just met with us on the 19th of June, which was the second anniversary of Chance's death by suicide. And they told us that one of the things they are able to do is keep soldiers from laughing and making fun of it, because they could say my best friend died by suicide. But they admitted that we still have a long way to go, that nobody really thinks it's going to happen to them or into their unit. And, you know, soldiers are trained to be strong, and it's a complicated issue. And Peter Corelli and General Corelli and so many other people who are now going to work on this issue, I don't envy them, because it's complicated to keep our soldiers strong but still recognize mental health. But I know this military can do it. I'm positive of that.
Greg Kiesling, before we go, is there a thought in your mind of what word, what statement, what gesture in Iraq in 2009 might have saved your son?
Well, my son was, he was part of a 10-man reserve unit out of Indiana. He was merged with another 300-man unit. He went to war with people he didn't know very well, and they did not know him. And I think the one thing, if we're going to send reserves and the Guard to war, that we have to do a better job of training these troops, allowing them to know one another. And, the 10-man unit that he was a part of was even dispersed amongst the other 300-man unit as a way to help them integrate more quickly. And I think if one of those soldiers had been his roommate, my son would be alive today. There's no question.
So find those buddies and then use those buddies to save and support each other in harm's way.
Correct, because they would have known. They knew the girlfriend back here. They would have known all the different issues that were happening. And he was just with a bunch of soldiers from Tennessee. He did not know. Good soldiers, but they just did not know him.
Well, Greg, thanks so much for sharing. I really have a sense of your son, Chance, as a result of this conversation. And congratulations for all your hard work.
He was a good soldier. And one thing I'd love that we do, if we say he died by suicide instead of committed, it's the one change I hope we
Done.
Can make in our dialogue.
Done. Greg Kiesling, father of Army Specialist Chancellor Kiesling, who died by suicide while serving in Iraq. Thanks so much. The policy changed at the White House. Condolence letters begin going out this month.
And we always want to hear your thoughts on the soldiers who've died by suicide and how we should remember them. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post your comment at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. Give a medal to that father. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.